Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sports Day WA. For Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA, and Kia, the Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change me out. Don't
change a thing for me. Oh, here we are. Another week.
Welcome to Sports Day WA. Peter Vlahos with you, and looking forward to delivering 1 hour of action-packed news. Do we talk about Harley Reid? I think we need to talk about Harley Reid, don't we? Everybody has spoken about Harley Reid since Saturday night. I thoroughly enjoyed the exhibition that was put on show by the fellow who turned 19 on the 17th of April. It's the 22nd today, so he's 5 days into his 19th year of existence, and he's turned the football world upside down, completely upside down. Now, what I've done in opening the program is that I've already recorded a snapshot of some football people in the media, former players, and also you'll be hearing from the man who saw him very early as a 16-year-old. And we're talking about the AFL head of talent management in Kevin Sheehan. And I'm going to ask Kevin his thoughts on Harley Reid 6 weeks in and whether he thought that he would climb so quickly in such a short space of time. So that's coming up in just a moment. You can join us on the text machine 0487 736 736. We are here for our friends at Toolmart, the Complete Tool Centre, and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Firstly, we'll just kick it off with my fellow SEN commentator in Melbourne, Dwayne Russell, thinks at the moment, and tell me if you agree or not, that Harley Reid is the best story in football currently.
But you're right. I mean, Harley Reid, for all those people that have ever said one draft pick can't make a difference, well, we now know it can, Jesse. And we've spoken to a couple of Eagles players in the last month on this show who've told us that he has made a difference. He has been a spark that the older players need. And I heard David King and Jared talking earlier on about the chicken and the egg. Well, we know it's the egg because a few older West Coast Eagles players have told us it's the egg. They've all of a sudden got a spark because this kid's come to town. So it's a beautiful world, Jesse, and I'm glad you started with that positive because that's, well, West Coast Eagles are in my top five best wins of the weekend, but I would say the Harley Reid story is shaping as the best story in football this year. That's how much I'm on board the Harley Reid bandwagon, Jesse, so I'm with you.
Yeah, but Dwayne, you got it wrong. In my top five best wins of the weekend, it is the best win of the weekend. You tell me another better win in the weekend. Now, I know when they ranked, because it was a round that was so close and it was very hard to pick a winner. I only got three right out of eight this weekend. Three I got. And there's others suggesting that the Derby, the 58th Derby, was the least interesting game of all the matches this round, round six. But as far as results are concerned, there's no question for mine that this is the most significant result. West Coast, Derby, pressure, Fremantle hot favourites, and all of a sudden they have not only beaten Fremantle. They've smashed Fremantle. And Fremantle got some real issues now. In their last three games, they've kicked nine goals and 10 goals. You don't win games of football at this elite level with those sort of goals kicked. So they've got some real issues. And in fact, Dave of Albany has been on the text machine straight away at 0487 736 736. Freo's game plan is flawed. It's based on the same plan Ross Lyon had. Longmuir is a Ross Lyon clone. It doesn't work in big games. It's that simple. Dave down there in the Great Southern in Albany. So I'd like to get your thoughts on the Derby, but more on Harley Reid. Let's just focus on the young fella, and we'll do it for Apple iSports for the fans. He's the hot topic at the moment. As I said, I spoke to a couple of individuals about their thoughts on Harley Reid. It's already in the can. And I asked them the question, starting with our gentleman from the breakfast program, Scotty Cummings. Now, he gave his thoughts on Scotty and Goss this morning. But as we know, it's a shifting audience. I thought I'd get him on again. He works with Jimmy and I in the call on SENWA. And this is what Scotty Cummings had to say about Harley Reid.
As far as impact on the match goes, Pete, there was no one bigger on the ground. And he should have got the three votes and he should have got the medal. And I just think that when, you know, he didn't touch it early, but then inserted himself into the game. And not too many guys after six games have that confidence, have that swagger, but he does. You know, the time where Nat Fyfe gave him a bump off the ball, he went straight back at the champion and sat him on his backside. I absolutely loved it, Pete, but you know what? He is the hope of the Eagles. There's no doubt about that. But he's dragging a lot of people along with him too. And no doubt he's getting some help from the senior players. But, you know, let's have a look at Bailey Williams and Ryan Marich, I thought was good as well. Jack Williams has shown signs. You know, Jimby, you know, they've got enough coming through that he will drag him with him. Don't worry about that. But he's a special one, isn't he? Six games. I don't think we've seen more hype on a bloke after six games. But his last probably three have been pretty impressive, and I think he can just ride his own numbers right now, Pete, when they offer him a contract extension.
They've already making comparisons with he and Nick Dacos in his first year. It's a huge comparison, isn't it?
It is, and what Dakes did in his first year was, you know, we hadn't seen anything like that for a long, long, long time, and He probably got out of the blocks quicker than Harley. He was elite from his first game on. But, you know, we're only six games in and Harley's last three have been impressive. But if he can go on the trajectory of Nick Dacos, and whether you can sustain that, I expect later in the year, Pete, when it becomes long and arduous, that, you know, Harley Reid will taper off. But so does every first-year player. They generally all do. So let's not expect him to keep up three-goal, 27, you know, possession, 30 possessions, that sort of stuff every week. But while he's doing it, I'm enjoying it. And I've lost the battle, Pete. I've tried to stay calm about it. I've tried to keep a lid on it all. But I'm all in on Harley Reid right now.
There's Scotty Cummings, his thoughts on Harley Reid. I spoke to a gentleman who used to excite crowds. We saw Harley Reid take a couple of great hangers on Saturday night in Derby 58. This fella used to take hangers all the time. He was an exciting machine. It goes back to the 70s and early 80s, and he's currently in Melbourne. He's a Carlton icon. He played for the Perth Footy Club. Peter Bozzasto has been a certainly student of Australian rules football all his life. And he was an excitement machine. So is Harley Reid. And I asked Buzz his thoughts on the young West Coast Eagles player.
Oh, they must be pretty excited, Pete, at the West Coast Eagles, because this lad's got plenty of poise, great balance, and he's got a hunger for the game, Pete, and that's, I think, rubbing up on a lot of the Eagles at the moment. And you know, very, very big future, as long as, you know, he keeps on improving and keeps his wits about him. But they'll be gunning for him soon, Pete, won't they, with probably tagging him pretty closely, because he could well be a very big match winner.
While I've got your Buzz, what about the Blues? I know you're in Melbourne. Can they go all the way this year? I need to ask you that question.
I'm not getting too excited at the moment, Pete. They won some great games and some close games. But, you know, I saw Saturday night and the Giants looked pretty good to me. But the Carlton big men took over after half-time, Pete. And, you know, Kurnow come good and Harry Mackay come good. And, of course, De Koning was running very, very well. And, you know, Cripps and Walsh, oh, what two powerhouses they'll be. So while they're in good form, the Blues have got a terrific opportunity. But the next 3 or 4 weeks, Pete, will tell a tale for Carlton, because we've got Geelong this week and Collingwood, of course, 100,000 people that will go to that game, Pete, in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. So very excited for the season coming for Carlton.
The good buzz. He's a good man and gave us his thoughts not only on Harley Reid, but his beloved Blues. They love him there at Carlton. Lockie Reid thought he was the biggest Reid in town, the Channel 10 sport presenter. I caught up with him and got his thoughts on Harley as well.
Well, Pete, most importantly, mate, up until this year, there was only one Reid in town. Now, unfortunately, I've handed over the mantelpiece. I've handed it over to Harley. Very, very excited about what he can offer. Just what he did in the Derby and even the previous week is just something I don't think we've seen for quite some time. Everyone's talking about, you know, maybe he's taking us back to the Chris Judd days. I actually think maybe he's been better than Chris Judd to start his career. So things are looking very, very promising for Harley Reid and the West Coast Eagles, who need something like this to give them a real lift.
Early days, but where could he possibly end up in the short term, do you think?
In the short term? Oh, look, I think he could certainly have as good a season as, say, Nick Dacos had, you know, at Collingwood. So he's going to get some Brownlow medal votes. He's got some competition, obviously, at the Eagles with Elliot Yeo, and won't win as many games, you wouldn't think. So I'm not predicting a Brownlow medal win, but I reckon he'll be rock solid throughout the season and get himself a fair few votes come end of the year.
And finally, before we speak to Kevin Sheehan, the AFL talent manager, about Harley Reid, spoke to Craig O'Donoghue, who's the senior writer for Harley Reid's PR magazine, The West Australian, on his thoughts on Harley. Here's Cod.
I was amazed by his performance on the weekend. He just captured the imagination of everyone at the ground, and you just could not take your eyes off him. I've been in America for 3 weeks, so I hadn't seen any of his performances before this. And you start watching him, and it's like, I can't believe how much he has improved and slotted into AFL football in such a short time, to go from being a draftee to being what I thought was the best player on the field. His poise, his explosive nature, his ability to leap and take marks, his confidence to take on every other player on the field and just to drag everyone else in the West Coast team along with him, is just remarkable. And the world's his oyster, because he's such a young 19-year-old kid at the moment who came with all this hype. He's handled the hype. He is the real deal. And we're going to see a hell of a lot of him for a long time at West Coast if they can sign up on a long-term deal. And he will be the future of the club.
There's Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian, who had, I reckon, about 10 pics of Harley Reid in the newspaper this morning. They are besotted with him, as a lot of people are now. Yes. Centrefold. Tom Morris, Lee Matthews, Jimmy Bartel all spoke about Harley Reid on Eastern States Radio, and they spoke more about the contract, because after today, he is permitted to, and the Eagles are permitted to, negotiate with Harley's manager and the player itself to extend his contract. At the moment, it's for 3 years after getting picked up as the number one draft pick. Here's what Morris, Matthews and Bartel had to say about the deal. They're talking $2 million a season, maybe 10 over 5, which is just mind-blowing. Here they are.
I don't see why they can't say to him, given that the salary cap's going to go up so much, here is $10 million for that 5 years, the five-year extension, which will take him through to the age of 26. That to me, is what he is worth to this football club. And then he's got a decision to make. Do you think that's even possible? What sort of deal would you be offering him if you're Don Pike?
Well, I was talking about that there might be a $2 million player in this next 5 years when the salary cap goes up a little bit. I wasn't thinking of Harley Reid at the time. But when you talk about the circumstances of what he's done in his first month, if you could tie him up from his 20s to his 30s, I think you'd do it. And so if it costs that kind of money, then maybe you have to bite the bullet.
Because 5 years as an extension, Jimmy, would take him to free agency. So I think it's unlikely he'd sign beyond that.
Yeah, I don't think his management will allow him to do that. And there's some other... Tassie coming in is a good lever to pull. It's another bit of leverage. But $2 million, I think it's a touch too far. because you want to be selling to Harley Reid, we'll put a one in front of it. Yep. And it'll be maybe mid ones or 1.2, and we'll incentivise it. So if there's Brownlows and Best and Ferris, you can get further. But you also want to be selling to him, if you take the lot, we can't surround yourself with other stars to make you even better as well, because you want good players around him to capitalise on his good form.
OK, so we've had heaps of opinions, and what are your thoughts? Who do you agree with? Who do you disagree with? What do you think about the money? 0487 736 736, or get on the Scarborough Toyota open line situated in Scarborough Beach Road in Aussie Park. They buy all makes and models. They service all makes and models as well. 13 12 55. Earlier today, also caught up with the AFL talent manager in Kevin Sheehan. He is the guru when it comes to spotting young talent. And I welcomed in to Sports Day WA.
Pete, thanks for having me. A pleasure. And I've loved the opening half a dozen rounds of the year. It's really exciting.
Tell us about Harley Reid. You are the AFL talent manager. You cite these young talents very early in their thrust to become AFL footballers. Can I ask your opinion on, has this exceeded expectations, or you're wary that this kid could deliver as soon as he stepped foot on an AFL field?
No, I think it's the latter. I think that we observed as he got closer to being a draftee that the boy was something special. And last year he was thrown in everywhere. He played a couple of games at two VFL state league clubs at Essendon and Carlton. It was in the best players on the ground. That's against the listed players, in amongst blokes he didn't know. He then, earlier than that, he actually represented the Australian under-18s, the boys that come together for a couple of games and against Port Adelaide over there in Gather Round, Port Adelaide's Sandful team. Again, he won the medal for the best player for Australia. So along the way, he'd been a back-to-back All-Australian at under-18 level, so he ticked every box you could possibly imagine for an underage player. So we thought that he looked to be a step above the other players and ready to play. But, Pete, the thing I really remember is the first time I've seen him play. It was up at Ballarat. And as you do, you go into an underage game. It's the Bendigo Pioneers playing. So you go and talk to the talent manager up there and say, well, anything worth having a look at today, you know, start of a season. And the lady, it was a lady called Brooke Brown. And she said to me, there's a young kid here, he's only 16, 2 years bottom age, that we think he's got a bit of Dusty Martin in him, but we're trying to keep that under wraps. Okay, and I thought, well, have a look. What's his name? It's Harley. Harley Reid's his name, the skinny kid from Tongala. So I thought, well, have a look at him. Well, he stepped around and kicked free in this game and was just so exciting. The big don't argue come out. He had all the traits that you're seeing today at AFL level as a boy running around as a youngster. And that was, it'd be 2021 probably, a few years back now. And he's lived up to all of that, I suppose, expectation over 2 or 3 years, and then now stepped up to play some exciting games, particularly the last couple of weeks have been brilliant.
So I gather you're not surprised. It's gone, it's euphoric over here with the media, our only newspaper in the morning, the West Australian. He's now, every time he touches the ball, the 50,000, we're up in raptures here at Optus Stadium. He seems to be handling it pretty well. And you would have known him as a young fella. Has he got that temperament to certainly survive through what is just an incredible period for him? He's only 19.
Yeah. I think he's got that temperament. He takes it in his stride, water off a duck's back type attitude, you know, to anything that comes along and doesn't seem too phased. He mixes well with so many different people. I think the lady, Brooke Brown, again, said to me, look, he'll talk to the doorman at 75. He'll get on with a 16-year-old that's in the team. He seems to get on with everyone. It's a great nature to have if you're going to be a footballer. Don't get carried away with things and just get on with playing the game. And that's the attitude he seems to have, and unfazed by whatever challenge is put in front of him. It's a bit like Nick Daicos over this way. In Nick's first year, it was quite unbelievable what he did with the weight of expectation on him as well. So those two boys, I think, more than anything I can think of in the last number of years, have just stepped up and done exactly what they've done at underage level, and that's dominate games and get the fans on board as well. It's exciting to see someone emerging with this sort of talent.
And finally, Kev, Nick Dacos has come into the frame now just in recent days after the performance of Harley Reid here on Saturday night. Do you see a similar path with these exciting two youngsters, or do you think one's better than the other? Or is it hard to separate?
It's probably too early a call. You know, Nick's had a wonderful few years, hasn't he? Been exciting to watch. What Harley does add is that dimension, the air. That's exciting, isn't it? When you're one-on-one and you can stand on their back. He's shown that right throughout his junior career. He's done it off half-back. He's done it in the goal square. And so that's the element, that in-the-air element that he has got that probably young Nick Dacos hasn't got. But Nick's a collector of the footy, isn't he? A wonderful reader of the game, setter up of the play, and has helped lead Collingwood through to success on the field. So, yes, maybe Harley's got all that in front of him now, but so exciting to see him unfold as a genuine rising star of the game.
Good on you, Kev. We had to speak to you when we're speaking about Harley Reid. You're the man that certainly set eyes on him at a very, very young age. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Pete. Good luck to the Eagles.
Yeah. Good on you, Kev. Kevin Sheehan joining us here on SENWA's Sports Day. All thanks to Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. By the way, the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year, you can find out more at kia.com.au. I was going to have the West Australian Football Commission CEO on the program, Michael Roberts. He did agree, and then something else has come up regarding another announcement, major announcement, coming out of the West Australian Football Commission later in the week, and they have suggested to my executive producer, Jimmy Williams, that we will have access to that once it dropped. I want to have a chat to him about the curtain raiser. I just think that's it's pointless having him. Like Peel Thunder taking on West Coast, this is my opinion. There was about 250 people here at 2 o'clock. The curtain raiser was played in the WAFL between the two teams aligned to our AFL clubs. Nobody was here. 250 people, 60,000 stadium, pointless. And it finished around about 4:30. So you've got to wait another hour and a half plus before the AFL starts. As we know, in the old days, you used to have the Colts, the reserves and the league. The reserves used to stop. And the turnaround was probably 15, 20 minutes at best. Curtain raisers before AFL games, unless they can come closer together, are not worth it. So I was going to have a chat to him about that. And also regarding the West Coast Eagles announcement, will they continue in the WAFL? It appears that a decision and something formal from the West Coast Eagles needs to be presented by about the 1st of May. So that's not far away. So those are the two topics I was going to speak to Michael Roberts, the West Australian Football Commission CEO, about. But he has promised there is another major announcement coming up in the next couple of days, and we'll have him on hopefully before the end of the week. We'll take a break, come back with the top five at five for Novus Auto Glass. There's one near you, 13, 22, 34. You're listening to Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos. Thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years, and Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change the air.
Don't change a thing. Yes, great to have your company. Also, thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre. They've been serving WA for over 45 years, and there's a Toolmart near you. For Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil, the good oil is on what's happening at the tribunal this week, and Greater Western Sydney will challenge Toby Green and Jesse Hogan's one-match AFL suspensions in a bid to free them to face the Brisbane Lions. On Anzac Day, the league's match review officer charged Green with rough conduct on Jordan Boyd and Hogan with striking Lewis Young in separate incidents during the Giants' 19-point loss to the Blues on Saturday. And the pair will argue their case at the tribunal tomorrow night. By the way, Tom Barras was due to go up tomorrow night. The Eagles are challenging his one-match ban after that tackle on Michael Walters. But because the fact that Green and Hogan will be up and the time constraints, Tom Barras won't know about whether he'll be playing this weekend up there on the Gold Coast on Wednesday, until Wednesday. That's when that'll be heard. So it's been delayed. Initially, it was going to be tomorrow night. Now it's Wednesday, so not the ideal preparation for both the player and the club. That's the update. The good oil for Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. 28 past five, the weather forecast for Perth tomorrow and around the southwest can be pretty cool. 23 degrees tomorrow in Perth, a minimum of 11. And for the majority of the week, in fact, till next Monday, heading into the last few days of April, it's going to be in the mid to high 20s. And no doubt pretty similar in the southwest and probably in the goldfields, maybe a bit warmer up there in the Pilbara. All right, let's look at the top five at five. Some of the big stories over the last couple of days. It's all thanks to Novus Auto Glass. There's one near you, 13, 22, 34. Connor, let's go in number five.
Number five.
Lockie Ferguson. They've got to go for two. Two is a super over. The throw is on its way. Meets Phil Salt. Has he got it in time? We're going to go to the third umpire again, KKR, believe.
So there you go. Just as it seemed, Mitchell Starc's challenging return to the IPL would reach a new nadir, the $4.3 million man has held his nerve and avoided a horrid defeat. Starc had gone for 54 runs of 16 balls, thrashed to all parts by the IPL's bottom team, the Royal Challengers at Bengaluru, needing 21 off the final over. RCB's number nine batter, Khan Sharma, had smacked Starc's first four balls for three sixes. But off his fifth ball, Starc took a brilliant return catch, bending his 1.97-metre frame low to clutch Sharma's drive. Now, off the sixth, new batter Lockie Ferguson could only scramble a single, and Starc's Kolkata Knight Rider survived to win by one run.
Number four.
They come to the 500 in the Quokka. Malkovich being allowed to run by McGruddy, a length and a half overpass. Amelia's Jewels only a length away from him, coming to the turn. Over on the inside, then the three-year-old Oscar's Fortune. Wider out, Bella Nipotina, their homeward bound. Malkovich leads the way from overpass. Amelia's Jewel, Bella Nipotina, Oscar's Fortune getting right up against the inside for Pike. He's coming quickly, Oscar's Fortune. It's overpass in front, though, from Oscar's Fortune. Amelia's Jewel, overpass, too good for them again, and they ram home another one in the Quokka. It's overpass from Amelia's Jewel, Saloon Bar, Oscar's Fortune near the rail.
Yeah, it's a great race and beautifully called by dazzling Darren McCauley. The New South Wales Raider overpass on Saturday afternoon again pillaged WA's riches in our biggest race, the $5 million Quokka, the Kia Quokka over 1,200 metres. And for the second time and as many runnings of the Ascot feature, he finished first past the post. And the slot race was a huge success. A big crowd at Ascot, almost 20,000 there. Big betting race, and it was all about overpass.
Number three.
This is going to be sensational. Oh! It is. It's taught with the touch. That means delirium for Coventry City.
This can win it.
And it does. And United will play City. It's a Manchester FA Cup final again.
Tell you what, it was just a crazy match. Manchester United were taking on Coventry City, who are in the second tier of English football, known as the Championship, and sit about eighth position in the Championship. And they were down by 3-0 to the might of Manchester United at Wembley Stadium in the semi-final of the FA Cup. They got back to 3-3. Coventry got back to 3-3 and would have gone 4-3 in front in extra time, but their celebrations were cut short by VAR and the tightest of offside calls. In the end, it went to a penalty shootout and Coventry were beaten in the shootout by Manchester United. United scraping through, and I saw the offside. It was millimetres. Millimetres, and had VAR not intervened, it would have been one of the greatest upsets in FA Cup history, particularly considering Manchester United were leading by 3-0.
Number two.
On the three-quarter time buzzer, you can hear it there.
Wow.
Does he have the journey, Scotty, do you think?
I think he does. Do you know what? Even if I said no tonight, he'll probably go back and kick this because they are doing everything right so far. And I tell you what, won't they get around him?
To make it a 63-point margin at the final change. Marriage kicks on the way.
Uh-oh.
And Marriage kicks a goal!
It's been a long 2.5 years, so the smiles on some of the players' faces have been through that, and coaches have done so much work. That's really pleasing. Our supporters have stuck by us as well. It's two games, so it's hard to be. The reality is it's a tough season, and for us to be competitive, we've got to be dialed in every week.
Yeah, and live in the moment, Simo, and I think that's what the West Coast Eagles fraternity, management, coach, players, supporters, live in the moment. Why not? It was a special moment for them on Saturday night. Coming in at number two, the West Coast Eagles' unlikely derby victory over the Fremantle Dockers. But at the top of the pile, no surprises, it's this.
Number one.
Darling takes a couple of steps and thunders the ball towards... Oh!
There you go. There's the good way to start your first touch for the night. A hanger in the goal square, Pete.
And he'll kick a goal, and this crowd will go off. I'm not saying any more. Have a listen. 22 points will be the lead at quarter time if Harley scores this. And Harley has scored it. He's got two, and they all come to him in great numbers. A pressure kick right on the quarter time siren. Lays the handball off to Alex Witherden. Across his body.
Oh!
Harley from the side. Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Sorry, Jimmy. I seem to just have got the Harley Reid marks, but it was a great call. Jimmy, myself and Scotty thoroughly enjoyed it. It's Perth's best call. You can catch it on SENWA, and we look forward to coming back this weekend. A bit of a subtle plug there for the Fremantle Dockers match against the Western Bulldogs. But Harley Reid, by a long stretch, the number one story going around these parts over the last few days, certainly since Saturday night. All thanks there to Novus Auto Glass. Don't let your old windscreen end up as landfill. Call Novus Auto Glass 13 22 34. We're going to take a break, and Melbourne has missed out. Sydney are in, Brisbane are in, Perth are in. What am I talking about? It's about a big event. The Matildas are returning to Perth. Melbourne won't see them. We'll find out why after the break.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Great to have your company. Also, thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre. Wherever you may be listening, SENWA, through the Perth metro area, through the southwest. SEN Spirit 621 right throughout the southwest. In the gold fields in the Pilbara, great to have you on board. Now, the Victorian government has defended its decision not to make a pitch to host the Matildas matches for the Asian Cup in 2026, despite spruiking the state as the home of the Matildas. Why? Because last year, the state government officially opened the home of the Matildas, a $42 million facility at La Trobe University, described by the Football Association as the most significant infrastructure accomplishment in the history of Australian football. Now, in a response to questions on why the government chose not to bid for the Asian Cup matches, a government spokesperson said, "Oh, well, Victoria has a packed calendar of major events and welcomes hundreds of thousands of visitors to our state over the summer months for events including the Epic Australian Open Tennis, the Boxing Day Test, Cadell Evans' Great Ocean Road Race, and many others." What they've forgotten is that the Matildas is the most sought-after Australian sporting brand at the moment. So, well done, Football Australia. You've awarded the Asian Cup matches to Brisbane, Sydney and Perth, and Melbourne misses out, which is news to my ears. Joining us is the head of the Football West community here in Western Australia, Sharif Andraws. Sharif, thanks for your time.
Hi, good to be with you.
It's a big win, isn't it? It's a big win to have the Matildas returning to Perth for such an important tournament.
It is brilliant to have a tournament here in Perth in WA. Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Look, too much football is never enough. The more the better, I say.
What do you think it'll mean for Perth? We've seen what they have delivered. We had the Olympic qualifier here and it was a packed house, and we've seen the magnetism of the Matildas and how it connects with the community. How do you expect this will go? It's still a couple of years away, but it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, football's grown from strength to strength over the last year or two, and certainly the World Cup as well, when it was held here, the five matches at HBF were all sold out, and they were just fabulous events. And then the three Matildas games last year, and in between we have lots of, you know, EPL sides, and coming up we've got Italian sides coming up in May in Perth. That's going to be huge as well. It's just, it means so much. It means so much. And we're certainly seeing that on the ground, grassroots level. It's just been fabulous.
I gather the Matildas matches will be staged at HBF Park, or known as Perth Rectangular Stadium. That's where they'll be housed, I'd gather.
I don't believe it's been fully decided yet what ones we'll have here and where they'll be, but it'll be announced, I think, after Australia's confirmed as the preferred bidder of one sometime in May.
Yeah, preferred bidder of one. We are the only bidder that'll house the Asian Cup. But we've got the Socceroos coming here as well, which is going to be another significant event.
Yeah, we do. So that's brilliant. First time we've had them in 6 years, which is just going to be awesome. In June, so there's lots of football coming up, and I think there's a full calendar. If you look at the whole strategic plan that Football Australia put together, going from the Women's World Cup to the Olympic qualifiers, all through the AFC Women's Asian Women's Cup, through to the Olympics in 2032, which we know we're going to host there, which is quite a major tournament for the Matildas and for football. But in between, there's also the intention to bid for the FIFA Club World Cup as well for 2029, which again is going to be a massive tournament if we can get hold of that one.
Yeah, no, it's certainly very exciting times. But you're very excited as the head of Football West, what's happening at grassroots. We had a chat earlier today, and you can't believe the exponential rise in participants, particularly young boys and girls taking up the sport. And I gather with the Matildas, it's only enhanced young women getting involved in the sport.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We normally get, if you go back, you know, a few years, we'll get, you know, growth of 3 or 4% every year, which we're pretty happy with. But the growth we've had this year across all the players has been about 22% year on year, which is about 40% increase in female numbers, which is huge. A 40% increase in female numbers is just amazing. And the majority of those are girls as well, yeah.
So why is that, do you think? Why are those exponential increases, particularly in the women's game? Is it on the back end of the Matildas, or do you think there's other factors as well?
I think that the Matildas and the success of the Women's World Cup has opened up women's sport in general. I'm sure they're seeing increases across other sports too. For our sport, you can certainly see, if you go down the training park, as I often do during the week, you'll see lots of girls, 8 to say 14, 16, those sort of ages. And they're wearing Matilda shirts. They want to play. That they'll know all the Matildas by name, and they're really inspired by what they did, which is just amazing. It's great to see the girls coming out and playing. And it's not just girls playing as well. We've seen a big increase in female referees. We've seen female coaches, administrators, and lots of people just trying to get involved with the game, which is just brilliant.
Mm. And no doubt from a football collective here in Western Australia, you'd love to see the Perth Glory doing better. They've taken off the wooden spoon. I think it's the second wooden spoon in 3 years after their 4-3 loss to Western United yesterday. You need a healthy A-League side as well, just to make things complete.
Oh, look, you do. I mean, we always talk about football pyramid. The football pyramid starts at the top of the national teams, and the national teams are going gangbusters, particularly the Matildas. The bottom of that pyramid is the grassroots community level, and that's absolute root health. It's never been healthier with the numbers we've got. It's the bit in the middle that probably needs needs more attention. A successful A-League just benefits everyone else. And obviously in Perth, that means the Perth glory. And yeah, hopefully with the new owners we've got, we get better than the wooden spoon.
Yeah. Sharif, just a couple of final questions. When you look at the expansion of the game of soccer, particularly at grassroots, where do you think, with so many people taking it up, are you losing people at a certain age, or do you think the pathways are quite complete on what's required for maybe young players to get to the A-League or even get picked up earlier than that and go overseas? Are you satisfied with the pathways?
Oh, great question. I think if you look at Football West, our focus is making sure there's football for all. So traditionally what you see is kids, when they hit to sort of the end of high school, end of secondary school, they start dropping out and they get more interested in other things outside of just playing sports. And sometimes it's because they drop down from multiple sports just down to one. Often to get involved with exams, they start work and study. And some will go on to elite levels, and we have to have very good pathways for them. But others just want to play socially. We have to make sure there's really good pathways and opportunities for people to play socially if they want. And it could mean just non-traditional football, things like futsal, five-a-side, or it could just be playing socially irregularly. So we have to make sure there's opportunities and pathways for everyone of every ability and how seriously they want to take it.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And what about other sports that are certainly gaining a bit of traction? I believe basketball is gaining a bit of traction amongst young men and women as well.
I think they are. I know that we have a real issue in facilities. That's probably our limited factor. But I think basketball's probably got it even tougher than we do.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Sharif. And are you surprised that Victoria, the government, decided not to bid to host the Matildas matches for the Asian Cup?
I don't really care. I'm just
I don't care either.
That's the most important thing for me. That's the most important thing. We've got the Asian Cup coming here. That's the most important thing, Pete.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, time, and continued success with Football West.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, Pete.
Good on you. It was interesting. Yesterday, I was at the Perth Glory match, and all the presidents of all the Football West clubs were invited to a suite there at HBF Park and were hosted by the new owner chairman of the Peligra Group. Ross Peligra actually hosted it and got all the presidents of all the NPL clubs there. So there is a huge push to make sure that the fabric of football or soccer, as we know it, is connected here in Perth, Western Australia. All right, before we wrap it up today, and of course, Sharif was brought to us by Lookout for the Sunrise, enjoy local service. There's over 1,200 stores Australia-wide. Visit newsunrise.com.au. Okay, some of the news, and it's all been centred around Harley Reid, everyone's got very excited about it. But firstly, let's again reflect on what the two respective coaches had to say. Firstly, Adam Simpson, on what the win means to the club.
It's been a long 2.5 years, so the smiles on some of the players' faces have been through that, and coaches have done so much work. That's really pleasing. Our supporters have stuck by us as well. It's two games, so it's hard to be. The reality is it's a tough season, and for us to be competitive, we've got to be dialed in every week.
And for Ty Power's power-up sale, it's on now. Here's Justin Longmuir saying that the Eagles simply just smoked them.
Well, I thought we started well and started the way we wanted to start. And then probably from 20-minute mark of the first quarter for about 2.5 quarters, we got smoked in the contest. Behind the ball, though, they're able to halve contests or win contests. And in front of the ball, they just, smoked us, led us to the ball, anticipated surge contest wins quicker than us. And around the ball, I thought, at stoppage, we got our hands on it, but their pressure was too good and we didn't trust ourselves against their pressure and coughed it up and let them walk out the front.
So the derby is done, as far as I was concerned, after today. From tomorrow, we all move on and we look ahead to the Anzac Day games. There's two in the AFL on Anzac Day. Looking forward to that, particularly the one at the MCG between Collingwood and Essendon, who are both winners out of round six. And from our local point of view, Saturday night, we have Fremantle against the Western Bulldogs, and, of course, the Eagles travel to the Gold Coast to take on the Suns. In motorsport, WA's Daniel Ricciardo's promising weekend in China was foiled by rival Lance Stroll when the Canadian ran into the back of him during yesterday's Chinese Grand Prix. Max Verstappen stood tall in Shanghai, but Ricciardo, driving for Red Bull's sister team RB, was running ninth when he was collected by Stroll in lap 26.
You're saying my mistake? Okay, I had started to calm down, but now that makes me, that pisses me off because I watched his onboard. He's not even looking at me. We start to brake and his head starts looking at the corner. And then he starts to accelerate or come off the brake and then he's right underneath me. So that pisses me off.
Not happy. The boy from Dunkirk, not happy. I don't think I've ever heard him swear. Is that swearing? No, I think it's more a term of being pretty disgusted. Daniel Ricciardo, upset because of what happened to him. The Canadian, he had a good chance of maybe going higher up the pecking order, was travelling ninth. Normally finishes around about, you know, in the teens somewhere, but he was going okay. And then the Canadian ran into the back of him during the Chinese Grand Prix yesterday. Daniel wasn't happy. Just repeating, Tom Barrass's tribunal hearing, the Eagles have appealed. It now will be on Wednesday, not tomorrow night. The tribunal has come back saying they are very much top weight tomorrow, looking after the Toby Green, Jesse Hogan one-match bans because the Greater Western Sydney are challenging those as well. So Tom Barrass, it's been shifted to Wednesday. We'll be right across that right here on SENWA. Good on you, Connor. Job well done, son. And also Jimmy Williams, my executive producer. I'm back again tomorrow from 5. Look forward to your company straight after the run home. Enjoy your Monday night here on SENWA.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.